Today is March 23rd, 1985. My name is Tika Ward. I am at 4511 South 3rd Street. I am talking with Kitty Mather. Our topic is Lou Tate and the Little Loon House. Kitty, as we begin, tell us something about yourself.
I am Kitty Samuels Mather, maker of the famous Kentucky Thoroughbred Beaten Biscuit, teacher, and published poetess. My book, Being Faces of the Muse.
To start, would you tell us something concerning the making of the portable little loom?
My husband, Dr. S.W. Mather, who was top honor graduate in the dental school and somewhat of a mechanical genius, was asked by Lou Tate to make a small portable loom. There was a little boy who spent a lot of time with him, who loved to play hooky from school, Bobby McKnight, who had a very bright mind. After Lou Tate gave them some reeds, he bought some 3/4-inch plywood for the frame, and together they devised the first little loom. They made around 50, selling them to Lou Tate.
I understand you lived one block down the street from the Bousman family.
Yes, and I can remember when I was small, when they moved from there from the mountains. The father had been with the railroad. Their mother was not too highly educated, but very intelligent. She was very prim and neat and had a proud bearing. They learned to play bridge and played in my home. The first time I saw Lou Tate, she was crossing the street in front of my house. She was on leave from college, Berea. She had blonde hair braided and wound around her head and looked rather handsome. Then I think she taught school, and it was not to her liking, so she came home and started her weaving. Louise, as I called her, before she took her weaving name of Lou Tate, was very kind to her older parents. Her brother had a child, Wood, whom he was not able to raise, so Louise and her parents took him as a baby. Her mother even took a course in child rearing to do a better job. Later, when her parents died, Lou Tate adopted Wood, her nephew, and raised him as her own. Wood was small in stature. He had a fine intellect, but did not relate to people well, and I am sure Louise had some problems, but she never voiced them. Then there was an old aunt in the family whom no one wanted and who had a mental deficiency. Lou took her in, dressed her up, and made her part of the family. I can remember her sitting in a chair at her parties, staring vacantly into space in a beautiful velvet dress with a lace collar, seemingly happy. Lou delighted in giving little informal parties and befriending many lonely and different people. At times, Louise seemed visionary to me and was very hard to pin down. She was not a businesswoman. And then I remember when her parents gave her her first cabin. I think it was for her birthday. When my father lost his business during Depression, I finished the edges of Lou Tate's weaving pieces for a small sum. My younger sister wove with Lou Tate and did some exhibition work before she became ill. We had a large loom in our home, and it was part of our life. My daughter went to the loom house when she was about 10 and took weaving lessons and fell in love with Lou Tate and weaving. She became very proficient and has a loom in her home today. She was interested in all aspects of her work, especially her genius with patterns. Since I was not the genius that my daughter and sister were, I could not fully appreciate Lou's work and fathom the depth of it. Before Lou Tate died, she gave my daughter one of her father's first looms, which she prizes. I still have several pieces of Lou Tate's weaving, which I enjoy. A small tablecloth made in the pattern, which was made for Eleanor Roosevelt, who visited her and named in honor of her. I have a beautiful coverlet made in the Wig Rose pattern, which was payment for one of my husband's loom and which he gave me for Christmas when he had nothing. Aside from Lou Tate's genius, the quality I admired the most was her loyalty to her family and being a humanitarian.
This is the end of the interview with Kitty Mather, taking place at her home, May 23rd, 1985.